Hello and welcome to our program. We're looking at Psalm 10, verse number 1. It says, "Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in the times of trouble?" We're going to look at that. Stay tuned. Been looking into the Word of God, trying to figure out what time it is. We've been looking at the times of trouble. We'll continue with that today, and we'll also look at the times of old and the times of ignorance. Before we do, listen to this message and song, Ship Ahoy.
I was drifting away on life's pitiless sea, and the angry waves threatened my ruin to be. When away at my side, there I dimly descried a stately old vessel, and loudly I cried, "Ship ahoy, ship ahoy!" And loudly I cried, "Ship ahoy!" 'Twas the old ship of Zion, the sailing along. All aboard her seemed joyous, I heard their sweet song. And the captain's kind ear, ever ready to hear, caught my wail of distress as I cried out in fear. "Ship ahoy, ship ahoy!" As I cried out in fear, "Ship ahoy!" The good captain commanded a boat to be lowered, and with tender compassion he took me on board. And I'm happy today, all my sins washed away in the blood of my Savior, and now I can say, "Bless the Lord, bless the Lord." From my soul I can say, merciless wave, the strong arm of our captain is mighty to save. Then trust him today, no longer delay. Board the old ship of Zion and shout on your way, "Saves, Jesus saves." Shout and sing on your way, "Jesus saves."
Well, what a blessing that is. If that doesn't bless your heart, your blesser must be broken. We're looking at Psalm 10, verse number 1, "Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in the times of trouble?" It seems sometimes that the Lord is afar off in the time of trouble. Why does he do that? Well, years ago, I was in my 20s, and we had an old church building that we had purchased, an older building, had large steps at the front, probably 25 cement steps to get up to the front door. And there was a pastor, retired pastor, used to come every Sunday, and he had had a stroke. And his wife would drive him up to the curb there, and I would wait for him every Sunday and help him out of the car. And then I would help him up the steps into the church. All one side was paralyzed, and it was a long, slow process going up those steps. And I heard every Sunday morning as I was taking this retired pastor up those steps, I heard one of the best messages I've ever heard in my life, and I heard it every Sunday. As we would work our way up those steps, he would say to me, "Always remember, God is never in a hurry, but he is never late." And then next Sunday, we'd take those steps again, and he'd say, "God is never in a hurry, but he is never late." And sometimes when we look at a verse like this, "Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in the times of trouble?" Sometimes it's because God has put us into a situation because we refuse to listen to him. But sometimes we have to realize God's delays are not denials. God is never in a hurry, but he is never late. Maybe you've been praying for a loved one for 20 years. That person might not get saved till 10 years after you're in heaven, but God is never in a hurry, but he is never late. Well, then we have the verse in Psalm 44, verse number 1, says, "We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days in the times of old," the times of old. Now, we might ask ourselves, why isn't God working today? He refers to the work that God did in the times of old. We look around today and we say, well, why isn't the Lord working today? Well, one reason is found in Jeremiah 5 and verse number 31. Three things are told here. The prophets prophesied falsely, number one. Number two, the priests bear rule by their means, number two. And my people love to have it so, number three. And then he asked the question, "And what will ye do in the end thereof?" You can't just keep ignoring God and expecting God to work. We're living in an age when there's so many prophets prophesying falsely, and God's people love to have it so. Just tell me the smooth things. Don't tell me the things I don't want to hear. Don't talk about those Christians that are promoting the damnable heresy that you don't have to repent. Don't do that. Tell me nice stuff. Let's just keep it all nice. Yeah, bury your head in the sand while we get people voting for Jesus who think they're saved and they're going to go to hell when they die. Now, the problem is if we reject God's promise, if we dismiss it as not according to our taste, we refuse to agree with what he says, we are going to face the judgment of God, which means God isn't working today like he did in times past. Now, 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people which are called by my name," three things here too. Number one, "shall humble themselves," yeah, "and pray," number two. And number three, "seek my face." And then he adds a fourth thing, "turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." If my people, now that was written to the Jews at Israel, and that's the interpretation of that, but the application is plain. We are his people. We call ourselves Christians. Christian, C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N, C-H-R-I-S-T, that's Christ. I-A-N is Greek for one. We are called by his name. We are Christ ones. And if his people, that's us, who named the name of Jesus Christ, would humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways. That wicked, that's an interesting word. The Hebrew here just means wrong way, going the wrong way. If you're not going God's way, it's wicked. The third thing we have here is the times of ignorance. And it says in Acts 17 and verse number 30, "In the times of ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." The times of ignorance. Well, when you have a time of ignorance, you have a time when there's a lack of knowledge, and a lack of knowledge could be because of a lack of information. And so in the times when there was a lack of knowledge and a lack of information, God winked at, but now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. There is no shortage of information. We just have a shortage of studying to show ourselves approved workmen that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, the context that we have here in this portion of Scripture is Paul is talking to an indifferent, arrogant, spiritually ignorant audience. To be indifferent is to have no interest in what Paul is saying. To be arrogant is to have a self-importance. And they were spiritually ignorant because they were, 2 Peter 3:5, willingly ignorant. And in verse 22 of Acts chapter 17, Paul straight out told them they were ignorant. Now, you don't get much preaching like that anymore. So the message here in verse number 30 is to repent. In the past, God was patient. But now, verse 32, we read here, "Some mocked, and others said, 'We will hear thee again of this matter.'" Verse 33 says, "So Paul departed from among them." You're going to mock? You're going to wait till later? What do you think we're dealing with here? This is important. We're not talking about whether you ought to buy this particular car or this particular coat or this particular dress. We're talking about what God has to say here, and some mocked. Others said, "Well, maybe later." Paul said, "No way." So Paul departed from among them. God is not mocked, the Bible says. "Whatsoever we sow, that will we also reap." Some mocked. Paul departed. Well, in Acts 17, we have the remnant, verse 34. "Howbeit, certain men clave unto him and believed. Among them, he names three, two men and a woman, and others with them." Now, that word "others" has been translated "another" 43 times. In other words, there's three people named and maybe a few others. There's always been a remnant. There's always been a few people who will listen. And so Paul took them and he departed. 80 years ago, in 1937, the doctrine of repentance was already being systematically diluted. And because it was, Dr. Harry Ironside wrote a book, "Except Ye Repent." In his book, he said this, and I quote, "The doctrine of repentance is the missing note in many otherwise orthodox and fundamentally sound circles today." Can you imagine? That was happening back in 1937. What would Harry Ironside say today? He went on to say, "Professed preachers of grace who decry the necessity of repentance, and you don't have to do anything but believe," he said, "this is shallow preaching, and shallow preaching that does not grapple with the terrible fact of man's sinfulness and guilt, calling on all men everywhere to repent, results in shallow conversions." And of course, shallow conversion is no conversion at all. Well, Jesus said in Matthew 4:17, Jesus began to preach, it says, and to say, "Repent." Mark 6 and 12, they went out and preached that men should repent. In Luke 13 and 3, Jesus said, "I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." And knowing that there would be some people that are too ignorant to understand that, he said it again 2 verses later, "I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." What's so hard to understand about that statement? Is there anything difficult about that? "I tell you, nay." Those are one-syllable words. "But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." What part of "all" is too difficult for you? Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter said unto them, "Repent." Acts 3:19, "Repent ye therefore and be converted." Acts 8:22, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness." Acts 17 and 30, God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Acts 26 and 20, repent and turn to God and do the works meet for repentance. Revelation 2, 5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent. He said, if you don't, I will remove thy candlestick except thou repent. Revelation 2:16, repent or else. Revelation 3:3, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. By the way, all of those were said to the pastor. Revelation 3:19, be zealous therefore and repent. So was that one said to the pastor. Luke 24:47, repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name amongst all nations. Is that too difficult for you to understand? If it is, get out of the ministry. 2 Corinthians 7:10, godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Well, why isn't God working today like he was in the times of old? Well, unless we get back to 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal the land. You want God to work? Get back to the Word. Why do we have these times of ignorance? Well, there was a time of ignorance when there was a shortage of knowledge, but that's not now. Now he commands all men everywhere to repent.
Would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with him within the narrow road? Would you have him bear your burden, carry all your load? Let him have his way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see. 'Twas best for him to have his way with thee. Would you have him make you free and follow at his call? Would you know the peace that comes by giving all? Would you have him save you so that you can never fall? Let him have his way with thee. In his kingdom find a place of constant rest? Would you prove him true in providential test? Would you in his service labor always at your best? Let him have his way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can soul and you will see. 'Twas best for him to have his way.